God bless you, Brother Melvin. It's good to be with you on your wonderful, wonderful show called The Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on KRAJ 100.9 FM right here in the Antelope Valley. I'm looking forward to that. And to get started, let's just ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity and this time to share a word with those who will hear. We know without a doubt in our mind that you love us and you've come to give your life and pay for our sins with your life on Calvary, buried, and on the third day morning, got up and declared all power, and then gave us the opportunity to come to you and know for sure that we have a place in the kingdom. God, we thank you. Teach us how to teach this lesson. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start off by giving you the first scripture will come from Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 16 through verse 22. And text words will come out of verse 20. So let me see if we can open this up so that people will want to make a change in their lives. Now, keep in mind, when I read this, this guy was a very well-off guy. And being well-off, he further thought that he could do good things and come out with a product that the Lord wanted just by doing good things. So let me read with you. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, notice this word, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Being that you're talking about eternal life, I need to know what good thing can I do, because I'm doing, this is basically what this guy is saying, I'm doing a lot of good things now. So I want to know what good things can I do? And this is Jesus's answer to him. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And then the young man come back and replied in a very strong and good way in verse 18, and said unto him, which one of these you talking about? And then here's Jesus' answer. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse number 19, honor your father and your mother, and thou shalt love the Lord, or love thy neighbor as yourself. Now listen to the young man's reply. The young man said unto Jesus, verse 20, all of these things have I kept from my youth up. I was raised up on the commandment. And I've kept from my youth up. And now I'd like to know what else or what lacketh I yet. Jesus answered in verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Watch the young man in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. So the question that I want to wrap everything around is, what's missing? What's missing? What is it that is in my life that is a problem? Because I've kept everything from my youth up. I've always obeyed the commandment. And but in verse 22, the young man turned away from Jesus, and we don't hear him saying anything else. He walked away, and I don't know how he did it, but he obviously walked away slowly, pondering on what Jesus had said, because he had a lot of money, lot of land, lot of camels, lot of wild animal, just had everything. So when Jesus told him, go sell all you have, that means giving up everything. And it's a whole lot different between giving up everything than giving up a little. So the thing that is I'm wondering here is that obviously this young man heard that Jesus was talking somewhere, because Jesus had been on a speaking tour, and he had been talking about divorce. He had been talking about marriage and all of that kind of thing that had been going on in Jesus's life just before he got there. Now, I don't know if I can prove this or not, but I somehow believe that the young man obviously either heard what Jesus was teaching, or somebody told him that Jesus was coming through that direction, and that he's the guy you want to ask about eternal life. But the young man, when he heard, sell up everything, give up my houses, my land, my animal, my family, my everything, and come and follow you. And you don't seem to have, I don't know, man, he did not say this to Jesus, but seemed like he would look at Jesus and say, you don't seem like you got a house to live in, and you want me to follow you and give up everything I got. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we're living in a society today to where people are not willing to give up everything to follow Christ. We'll follow drugs. We'll follow all kinds of stuff. We will, and you know, I tell off on myself, and probably some of you have heard me say this before, and that is this. When I was working at Edwards Air Force Base, they opened up a credit union. And I put my little dollars and every little pay raise I could get, I'd stick it off into the credit union and hoping that I could make some money off of that. And so I would go to the credit union almost every day, as if I had enough money in there to bring back a whole bunch of money. So I went to the credit union so often that the lady knew my account number. So as soon as I walk up to the window, she would absolutely tell me, Mr. Hearn, you didn't make very much last night, because she knew my credit, knew my number and everything. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say to you today is that if you're not willing to give up everything, then you're not willing to follow Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus is looking for us to give up everything. But now, one of the things that we need to understand is that what he told this young man is because he knew how he was going to respond to that. And so what happened here is, when the Lord tells us to give up everything, he's not saying, take your living, your 401k and anything else and get rid of it and don't have anything don't have a house, don't buy a car. The Lord is not saying that. But what the Lord is saying to us is that if you really love me, then give it over to me, and I'll be your credit union. I'll be the one who will make your money multiply. I will be the one who will cause your marriage and your children and everything else to go in a good direction if you will give them to me. But there's not too many of us willing to give up everything. And so this young brother was expecting Jesus to give him an answer that he already had the answer to. And that's why he said, what good things, what good things, get that? What good stuff. So most of us have got some stuff. You know, I have a few dollars. I have a couple of rent houses. I have this and that and the other. I'm talking about Henry now. But am I willing to say, Lord, if you need it, it's yours. If you want it, it's yours. Because you are the most precious thing. You're the most precious element that I could ever, ever have. Now, I'm going to take you to the book of Philippians. And I want you to take a look at chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse number 4 through 8. Now, listen at how Paul put this. 4 through 8. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now, this is Paul speaking. If any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Now, watch this. Watch this. This is Paul. Now he's gotten saved. But Paul looked back in his life when he was absolutely persecuting the church, where he was absolutely doing everything because he did not want anybody to bring up the name of Jesus and set it up beside Caesar, because Caesar was the greatest thing in Paul's life. Now watch what he said. I the more. Listen what he said. Circumcised the eighth day. Now he's talking about way, you know, his, what kind of family he grew up in. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zealous, persecuting the church, and look what he said. I, which is in the law, blameless. I was blameless because I knew the law. I obeyed the law. I was a Hebrew of Hebrew. I was in the great stock of Benjamin. I had it all going on. Circumcised on the eighth day. Nobody. I could speak many languages. Hey, guys, I had it going on. This is Paul speaking. And Brother Henry had his own little going on. Nothing to compare with Paul, but I go back and said, of all of the Hearns family, I was the first one to graduate from college. Of all of the Hearns family, I was the first one to become a registered engineer. And I I have stuff on my record back from the federal government, stuff that I did down in San Fernando, that designed those bridges. You know, I just thought I had it going on. And I'm gonna tell off on myself. I would tithe every so often, not too often, because I was saving all my little money. And I looked around one day, and I didn't even have a wife. She was looking for a husband who would be with her, a husband that would spend time with her. But I spent all my time making money and putting it up and investing in houses and land. And the next thing I know, I was going through a divorce and lost every bit of it. And sleeping on the floor in one of my little houses. And so, folks, I got the message. And I'm believing with all my heart that a part of that came because I didn't spend real good time with the Lord, nor with my wife. All I wanted to do is to make money and put it up, save it, and put some more up, save it, and put some more up. But Paul made it clear that he was out of the great stock of Benjamin, and that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and that he knew the law, that he had gone to the school and taught by Gamaliel, the great teacher of that time. And he absolutely, without a question, knew that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and that he was not going to let anybody run over Caesar and the Roman law. So what is it that I'm saying as we close this message? Brothers and sisters, we've got to keep our head at the feet of Jesus. And you got to put away your little houses, your little land, and your little certificates, and your little credentials as a registered engineer in the state of California. All that stuff melts and die and go away. And it don't last no longer than I can last. And so I want to say to you, when I lost all of that, I got my head together, asked God to forgive me, asked my wife to forgive me, asked my children to forgive me. And when I did that, I turned myself in to the Lord and began to tithe and do the things that were correct. And the Lord blessed me to get back on top of life and have more than I had at first. So I want to say to you, you need to ask yourself a question. When things are not going right for you, you need to ask yourself a question. What's missing? And you know what's missing. When Jesus is not in the place, you got a big thing missing and you're on your way to hell and may not even know it. But let him bless you with his presence. I thank God for you today, and I want to ask you, wherever you are today, I want to spend just a minute and pray for you, and we'll be finished. Father, I come to you now, thanking you for allowing those things to happen to me, to bring me back to my senses so that I could figure out what was missing, and that was you. But thank God you've given me you, and you've allowed me to come to you, and that I will not change. I'm going to get worse and worse and closer as I move along in my life. God, we thank you, and we ask you to keep the minds of those who heard this today, that they will look at the word and make a change in their life while we still have an opportunity. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen. God bless you, and the Lord keep you. And don't allow yourself to get wrapped up in a bunch of stuff, which ain't going to take you nowhere but straight to hell if that's all you're thinking about, and cause you to lose your wife, children, family, and everything else. But if you turn to Jesus, he'll give you life and the stuff to go with it. Amen.